This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to episode 203 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast. I've been listening to a lot of Martika lately. My name is Wayne.
That got the response.
What the fuck? What the fuck? I read that. I just thought about it now. What?
I guess won't even know who Martika is, yeah, and neither right. Should they, because okay, she's shit. My name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast with Countdown Movies, sometimes television in order of awesomeness, so you don't have to. And today, it's a really timely episode because the Oscars are about to happen, and we thought, well, let's talk the best 10 Oscar-winning pictures of all time, but let's not do it alone. Let's do it a show-v-show format. Let's get on a great podcast out of Melbourne, the other side of Australia, the enemy, as they are now known, the IMDb Journey podcast. Daniel and Dean, welcome to the countdown.
Fellas.
Step by step and heart to heart.
Yes, they know Martika. What's up? Thank you for validating basically my life. That's the ball.
I know a bit of Martika.
Whatever makes you happy.
Always got it all good. Fuck you, Paul. Fuck you in the ass.
Welcome back to the soundboard. Mostly welcome to our guests today. Gentlemen, for our listeners who may not have heard the IMDb Journey podcast, tell us a bit about it and how it came to be and what's going on.
Well, me and Dean, my partner here, That was a bad word.
I know we're close, but yeah. Come on.
Me and my best pal here, Dean, we do the IMDb Journey, which is obviously a podcast where we break down every film from the IMDb top 250 list. We get stuck right into it. It's basically because the IMDb list is something that we've followed since we were 15.
Grown up with it, and it very closely reflects our opinions on films as well. So
it does.
We do have a lot of respect for it.
Yeah. And when we came up with the idea to start a podcast, we're like, well, what do you want to do? It's like, well, I don't think there's any other option here. We do the top 250.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's what we stuck with.
Wow.
What does that mean?
We didn't want to veer off course too quickly.
We ended up being the IMDb top 23 and now we've moved on.
Does that mean you can only do 250 episodes?
No, because we realized that, so we decided to branch out and do that every fortnight from now on, because we also do Pod V Pods on every
Kicked
other
it
fortnight.
Right out. Nice
where,
one, man.
Which we have had the
obviously
honor.
We get you guys on, you know, you've been on our podcast and you know, we had an absolute blast there. And
so now we can only do 500 episodes.
Yeah. Well, I did
maybe
have
we'll
a question.
Think of something else to do.
And the question is, obviously the IMDb top 250 changes. So
yes.
Have you had the misfortune, so to speak, of reviewing a film which has dropped out and now you have to review another one? Because it's not going to be 250 episodes. You're going to end up with something like 270, 280, maybe even 300 if you go all the way.
Yeah.
Now, Paul, I have to tell you, there is no misfortune about this, okay? We have reviewed one film that has dropped out and it is one of my favorite films. It is La La Land.
Ooh.
It dropped out.
It
I did.
Love
just
film.
Recently.
Appropriately.
I love that.
Oh, it
off.
Is so good.
Great fucking movie. We're in. Absolutely.
Paul.
In.
Just,
you guys.
No words.
I stand resolute, motherfucker.
That wasn't me, everyone.
Poor stupid soundboard of me because he's an asshole.
So for some reason, it's even funny when there's guests.
Fuck off. They'll be like, why did you just say
exactly.
that? Why would that jizzbag say this? And then it's because it was. And he is a jizzbag.
We know you guys so very well. Like, yeah,
so
exactly.
You're interrupting everyone's shit with your bullshit. Fuck you, Paul. Sorry, what you were saying?
I was saying, we listen to you guys all the time. So whenever the soundboard comes on, we know exactly what it is. So okay. Don't worry about that.
There's no danger of fooling us.
Damn. No, we appreciate that you guys listen to the show. And I'm a big fan of your guys' show. You're way too generous
Hell
with
yeah.
your marking, except when it comes to the thing. But otherwise, everything is awesome.
Hey, to be fair, when I watched it the first time several years ago, I didn't give it a positive review. And then I watched it like recently, and yeah, it was really good.
Don't
so
anger him.
Maybe on a third time, Paul, I might get it a little higher. Who knows?
Wow. Yeah.
I was going to try to win. Now I'm going to try to ream you.
Let's just know what you're talking about here.
On a recent episode of the IMDb Journey podcast, I reviewed The Thing, and Daniel only gave it 4 stars.
That's funny.
In fairness,
Paul.
I also only give it 4 stars.
I haven't seen your mark yet, Dean. On all right. Well, in that case, reaming both.
Paul's just a little gay about this film. Okay,
no,
it's just, yeah.
Look, it's an absolute pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much for spending a late on a Friday evening recording with us. We appreciate it with the time difference and the small children and the workings in the morning. So thank you, guys.
Any excuse to get out of the house. Don't worry about it.
If you're not listening to the IMDb Journey podcast, please head on over and check out Daniel and Dean there. And it's time for a plug for the Podcast Republic app.
For your Android device.
That is correct. A robust Boom. And reliable app, which you can listen not just to our show or the IMDb Journey podcast, but all of your podcasts on. It's a fantastic app developed for, as Wayne said, the Android devices by Nay and his team. They feature us on their website, and we're more than happy to feature them in return.
Check it out.
That's all the preamble we have today. Let's get straight into it then. The top 10 best picture films on the other side of this really powerful music cue. Top 10 Oscar-winning, Academy Award-winning films is the subject of today's countdown. The IMDb Journey podcast versus the countdown. It's a pretty straightforward list. You had what? I did query this when we put all this together. How many Academy Awards have there been?
Well, I want to say 90 and certain change, but I could be wrong.
Oh, Daniel will know.
I believe the one coming out soon is the 91st or the 92nd. So you're pretty almost spot on. Yeah.
So it's a relatively limited amount of pool of films. There's only therefore 91 films to choose from. Did you have trouble with your list, gentlemen?
Well, in terms of putting it together? Or
in terms of agreeing upon it.
Like we did.
Probably not too much. Nah, there's one or two in here.
It was fairly similar. We do have a couple movies that we may not have had on our original individual lists, but we'll get there.
There's a precedent for that on our end as well, so we can't mock you for that.
You should have heard some of the shit Paul was throwing
out. Oh, yeah. Paul was throwing out. Unbelievable. We shall see as the episode unfolds. All right, well, the guests always lead away on the countdown. Please, gentlemen, your number 10.
All right, I'm going to pass this one over onto Dan here because this is really his main pick. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah. So I just managed to convince Dean to scrape this on the list. Our number 10 is Rocky.
Oh, damn.
That's a fine choice, a very fine choice. I endorse it strongly. Wayne does not.
Well, look, it's not so much Wayne. That.
This is our pick. What are you talking? Stop bringing it down.
Tell me why you love it, bro.
Well, and then Dean, tell us why you love it.
Yeah, tell us why you love it.
No, nice try. For me, Rocky is the best underdog story you can think of. This guy who's down on his luck and gets that one in a million chance to make something of himself. And not so much in the I want to win. It's just it's a personal one. I just want to go the distance.
Oh, yeah.
He knows what he's capable of, and he just wants to push himself to make it that extra mile. And the music, it pumps you up. The training montages, like this movie defined a training montage.
It did.
It really did, didn't it?
Yeah. And even just the actual true story of Sylvester Stallone being this underdog trying to make this film. Like, he got, what did he get offered? Like, about $300,000 for the script? And he was like, he was a bum, basically.
Yeah, and they said,
And then he said, nah.
No, you can't be in the film.
Yeah, he's got balls of steel being that, man. If he's
absolutely.
Poor, and he, oh, yeah.
And if anyone would know what Sylvester Stallone's balls are like, it's Wayne.
Are you kidding me? That shit is fucking shiny and fucking
Hey, wait, you like my balls?
Actually, I'd be like. The sucking ball jokes have started. Excellent.
And at number 10.
Yes.
It's a great choice. In fact, I would give it the official.
Ooh, that's a bingo.
That's the
nice. Nice.
Yep. Dean, you and Wayne want to have anything to say about this film?
Okay, let me just start off, Dean, if I may. Look, Rocky's a fine film. All right?
Is it, though? It was when you think about it.
It's just that I guess the boxing thing didn't really get me. And Paul and everyone in my life has always been horrified that I really like Rocky V.
Oh, Wayne, what the fuck? Are you kidding me?
I know. It was just, he never got in the ring. It was kind of cool. What? I don't know. Anyway. So, Rocky, fuck off. But anyway, look, it's great and everything. It's just I was born a little late and I'm an old fuck. So, you know.
Makes no sense. I'm right with you, Daniel.
Yeah, imagine how I feel.
Anything else to add to Wayne's dismissal, Dean?
No, I think it's a fantastic film and, more importantly, a fantastic pick.
That's right.
So, well done, IMDb Journey.
I am good. That's as authentic as your promo where you're doing all the voices.
I mean, I actively don't like this film, so it's lucky it's there, but... Yeah, you know, people tend to like it for some reason. So there it is, number 10.
How much do they like it? Well, it's exactly our number 10 on our list as well when I pushed it in there.
That's right.
Real
Paul,
hard.
Paul,
just nice. Like Wayne likes it.
Yep, there it is. Paul spread him and rammed in Rocky. So.
Yeah, nothing. You've encapsulated it perfectly. Cool. I think the meta sort of story that comes through the film and Sly Stallone doing his thing to get where he is today on the basis of being so insistent is just incredible. And the fact that, yeah, he doesn't win the fight is perfect. It's a perfect ending to a great film.
I have heard recently that he is not that small. People think he's really, really tiny. He's like 5'9" and a half.
Is that right?
This is by someone who I've heard had met him.
Okay.
So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Now, Wayne's contribution, there you go. Number 10.
I wasn't sure if you were talking about his height.
Yeah. Why didn't I see the dick joke? I don't know what's wrong with
me. I honestly thought that's where you're going.
Always see the dick joke.
Fair comment.
Thank God
comment.
These guys are here.
All right, straight back to you guys. You're number 9 then.
Our number 9 is Braveheart.
What's up, son? That's a, like, okay, so when we were doing our list.
No.
Yeah, sorry, Paul's going to do this thing where he just craps on. But my number 9 on my list was Braveheart. And then Paul had a little conniption, shat a little bit, that sort of thing. And he's doing what he was doing now, which is that. So, yeah, Paul's a big fan of this movie. You're not getting any fucking... Yeah, that's...
It's funny notice. You say that because I actually had this much, much higher on my list. And
a bit.
Daniel did not have it on his list at all.
Oh! Wait, okay.
I could not believe it. I was blown. Mind blown.
Listen, right. My mind is now blown too.
There is nothing you can say here, okay? You did not have Braveheart on your list. It's embarrassing.
It's 12, all right?
Yes, it is.
It's embarrassing.
It's a fantastic film. I couldn't squeeze it in there.
No, you got to squeeze that one in. You want to talk about inspirational. This film is inspirational. Mel Gibson in his absolute peak, absolute prime. His speeches to these warriors, these men of men, I get so excited every time I watch this film.
Big.
It is so fucking long, and I just want it to be double its length.
It's like everyone's talking about cocks. I know. Too not too long. I want it deeper inside.
You can't mind the gunners.
No, the theme of this show is cock.
Oh, God.
Isn't every episode?
You're right. I don't know what I'm thinking. For real, though, that Braveheart scene where the dude comes in and then strings the girl up and then, like, fucking...
Oh, that's
that shit is that so rough. I was like, you motherfucker.
Yeah, and that's why. It evokes such emotion. It evokes such passion.
Man. I was like, I can't believe anyone would do that.
The battle scenes
you get behind
astounding.
Him so much.
Yes, exactly. And then when he busted out with him, even better. Could have been even worse. I reckon Mel Gibson should have fucking cut his balls off or something. So, but anyway... That is an awesome film. Good call.
Yeah, great. Fantastic film. I love it to pieces. Wayne had it low on his list, but we both did have it on our list, which makes Daniel the villain of the piece.
I'll take it this one time. Just this one time.
That's not what you said earlier.
I was waiting for it.
Yes! All right, this is my show.
All right, well, that moves us on then to our number 9. And we both had this on our list as well. It was higher on Wayne, so I'll let him talk a bit about it.
Damn straight, it's American Beauty.
Okay.
What do these guys think?
It's
interesting.
Yep.
All right, well, American Beauty. The reason I loved American Beauty, it wasn't so much because of the paper bag. It was more because
plastic,
of the plastic bag. It was a plastic bag. It was more because I couldn't believe... that they were doing this. They were making this movie about an old guy who, yes, turned out to be Kevin Spacey. But at the time, we thought he wasn't a fucking, you know, bad guy. And then he's having a thing with this underage girl. What is she, 16? Is she 15, 16? It's too damn young.
A lot of acting required from Kevin Spacey here.
Well, she was the girl.
Yeah, exactly.
But that for that thing to work on a screen like this on such a mainstream level so much that it becomes the best movie of the year, like, how did he even do that? That's pure craftsmanship. I just think that it's like, you have to be some kind of specialized director to know, because any misstep and you're fucked. Especially, imagine if this movie came out now. Forget about it.
No, I couldn't.
All right, forget about it. So this was there, that good at that time, and I don't know. It's like, it's Nolan-like in its good.
What?
Christopher Nolan is,
I mean,
pure technique. Like, he does ridiculous shit, and he makes you believe it because he's such a good filmmaker. That's this guy as well.
Sam Mendes,
yeah. So, there you go. You guys like it? No?
Yeah, no, we do. I think it slipped off our list. I think we probably had it at like 11 or 12.
Fair. It's a beautifully looking film. It's great to watch.
Amazing.
Yeah, and I think the device of having him say, look, this is when I die, at the very start of the film, it's quite revolutionary.
You get right into it straight away.
Yep. Oof. Yep. So the whole rest of the film, like, well, who's going to kill him? Well, it's clearly the girl's dad, you know, and so on and so forth. So,
yeah. Still hard to happen.
And Gary Cooper as the neighbor's fantastic.
Chris Cooper. Gary Cooper. The old Western bloke.
He would have been very old.
But still fantastic.
But Chris Cooper's always amazing as well. So, yeah. All right. So, cool. You guys.
Yeah, back to you for 8.
Okay. Our number 8 is the Coen Brothers' No Country for Old Men.
Oh, God.
That's a solid choice. So solid that Wayne, I believe, in the Patreon where we recorded, said, I hate that fucking movie.
I hate the fuck out of that fucking
movie. What?
Wayne, what the fuck?
So check really? It out,
are you serious?
This is what I have to deal with, gentlemen.
First up, are we talking about the Javier Bardem one?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I always confuse that with There Will Be Jizz. All right? So,
There Will Be Jizz? Oh,
who doesn't like There Will Be Jizz?
It's like every day at work.
What is that called? A Tuesday. No, all right. So, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah.
That's what you chant when you're going to work, Wayne. There will be jizz.
And I'm always right. So, okay. Yeah, actually, look, you guys go ahead and tell me why you like it.
We should not hear why Wayne doesn't
like it.
Let's
not hear why
you like it.
Go
ahead,
good film. Tell us why you like it.
It's just, I feel like one of the best things about this film is the tension that is built throughout. Like, you've got this guy who's basically on the run. Like, it's this modern day Western virtually. He's on the run. He's got a bunch of money, but it's the way it's filmed. Like, in particular, this scene in this hotel, one of my favorite scenes of all time.
Can
the
you
tension
explain that fucking
is
scene to me?
Through the charts.
Okay. So this is the scene where he comes, was it where Tommy Lee Jones comes back in?
Talking to Dean, not me.
Okay. And I'm just saying, I'm looking at you while I'm talking to him. What?
Right. No, it is not that scene.
Not that scene. Okay. Cause I didn't know what the fuck was going on with that scene. And I think that's what made me mad. I'm like, wait a minute. Is he in there?
I love that. I love that it's not clear what's going on at points in this film. And I love that you've really you get rewarded on rewatches and the,
do you?
I just feel like yes.
Oh, absolutely, Wayne.
All right.
Trust me, I've seen this a couple of times, and yeah, it definitely is more. You appreciate it more when you watch it more than once.
Maybe I want to then, just to see. I need to. Yeah, I just don't agree with anyone, but like this is. But yeah, good. Okay, interesting. Look, it was really well made and stuff, but it's just Javier Bardem was so fucked up, man. I just like it bugged me.
Yeah, isn't that good?
I know it's absolutely supposed to be that way, but I remember not having a good time because I was so angry at him. So, you know, but I guess that means it is good. So
the scene you're referring to actually happens in the book that way. So that
really
is not described in the book. So they were faithful to the book. I think the film is fantastic. It's only slight. And the reason I didn't argue for it harder to be on the list is the ending seems to be, again,
I knew you were going
to
say that.
Book faithful, but seems to be deliberately oblique, deliberately obscure in terms of what it's trying to go for.
Unsatisfying is the word you're looking for.
Yeah, I could undo the last 10 minutes of Tommy Lee Jones pontificating around the campfire, and I think the film would be better for it. But that's because I'm an uneducated...
Yes, the artistic mavens and so on will be like, well, wasn't that wonderful at the end? So, yeah.
But otherwise, no, I'm not sliding.
I would be like that. Thank you, Wayne.
Not sliding the choice. I think it's an excellent choice. Well done, gentlemen. That's a good,
nice one.
Good number
not
eight.
On our list.
Our number 8, though, I wonder if will be on your list or not. I think it's one of those critical darlings in a film which defines a director's legacy. It is Steven Spielberg's Schindler's List.
Mm.
Yeah, it's not. And no. Before you get into us, it's one of those, like, it's like that American Beauty. I think it ends up, 11 on our list, perhaps?
Yeah, it's close, but...
I get the feeling it might be a lot of 11s on your list before we're done today.
Well, I don't remember.
There's also a lot of 12s. Don't forget all the 12s.
Yeah, Schindler's List is as heartbreaking, along with Polanski's Pianist, which I was out later.
Oh. I thought you said Polanski's Penis. And that was out later.
It did.
What a surprise.
It was out earlier, actually. Way too early, some might say. Oh, shit, we crossed over. All right. Cool.
Oh, can you stop now, please?
Oh, God, sorry.
Put it away,
I'm
Wayne.
Sorry. Wait, please, go
for
on.
For Paul's sake.
Not the first time that requested.
Yeah, basically, it's a heartbreaking film and a story of such courage that someone's willing to give up so much for, because it's right. It's the right thing to do. He gives up his entire life, his fortune, to save people he did not know. That is inspiring. The horror of what Spielberg manages to show through this film is heartbreaking. The devices he uses,
yeah.
The decision to shoot in black and white, I mean, that's not Oscar-worthy in and of itself, but I'm sure it didn't hurt.
You know what? At the time, though, because I remember him talking about it, they said, can you shoot it in color and then we'll make it post black and white? And he said, fuck you. I'm shooting it in black and white.
I'm Steven Spielberg.
Exactly.
Fuck you.
Exactly.
Yeah, quote.
Yeah. Fuck you, producer. Yeah.
Yeah, an incredible film, yeah. And so very, very powerful. And I'm happy it's on our list, even though...
It wasn't on mine.
It wasn't on mine.
It wasn't on mine. But, you know, I understand. Okay. Very nice.
Not very nice. Okay, okay. God damn.
Wow.
Sorry, not nice. That's low. It's a well-made film, hence nice. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, amazing.
To demonstrate the Holocaust in such a powerful way, I mean, it's a powerful subject matter, and I think it's... Yeah, can't make any jokes about it, although Wayne will no doubt try.
No, I won't. In fact, I was going to say to you, I said to this in the other one, like the scene where the gun was jamming and he's about to shoot the old guy.
Ooh.
That is fucking...
Good sign.
Harsh. Yeah.
And I do like the use of the black and white, because when they do bring in those tiny color. Bits of color, yeah. It has a much more dramatic effect.
It pops. All right, that's our eight. Your seven.
Our seven is One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Wow,
that's a good pick. Not on our list.
Have you seen it?
Yes,
I have not.
But
seen
a
it.
Long time ago.
Yeah, Jack Nicholson fan, eh?
yeah. Yes, of course.
How could you not be?
Yeah,
agreed.
This was one of the big fives.
It was one of the big five.
Director, actor, actress. What's the fifth one?
Writing.
That's the one. Screenplay.
Wow.
It shows. Like, this whole movie is just a masterclass in acting, especially from Jack Nicholson. He's
insanely good in this. And I was, I guess, like you guys, I watched it once when I was younger and I thought it was good, but nothing special. I watched it a couple of years ago and I couldn't believe what I was watching. I was absolutely blown away by this movie.
Okay, yep. I've not seen it, but yes, I've heard many good things about
it. It's critical, that critical darling. It's a good pick. It's a strategic pick. Well done, Josh.
No, and like for me personally, the ending I think is the highlight for me. It's such an emotional. I don't want to spoil it for you, Wayne, but it is a very dramatic ending, and it hits you right in the feels.
Okay, if you young kids can like this stuff. I'm going to give it a try. I'm saying.
I love you calling me young. It's so kid. Good.
You're so generous.
All right. Very nice. Then our seven is all Wayne.
Yeah. It's all me. And I'm fucking standing behind it. So.
I'm right behind you too. 35 miles behind
well,
you.
Well, we'll see. My number seven, our number seven, is Titanic. Yeah.
Oh,
what?
Jesus. Are you kidding?
Oh.
Hit the soundboard. Bro. Just keep smashing those buttons.
Stupid, but ballsy.
Wait. I don't understand, man. What the hell, Sinky? We have Titanic, probably one of the most important movies to the industry of
cocaine
movies.
Cocaine is a hell of a
Suck
drug.
Suck my balls, man.
I mean, yes.
What? No.
Fucking hell. I can't get it from both of you. Oh, shit. No. Well, look at me. So, Titanic. All right, people. Yes, Paul only likes the bit where the dude falls in the fan and gets fucked up. All right? But other than that...
Well, we all know what bit you like, Wayne.
The titties?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, sure.
Always.
Yes, that was very nice. But more than that, it was the fact that the love story kept me engaged all the way up till the big action bit, which then was way over the top. So this starts all those movies where you've got this massive romantic component to a massive action component, Armageddon. All right? And stuff like that. Let's start the whole thing. Pearl Harbor. You know, all that kind of shit. And I didn't mind it one
yes,
bit.
Thank you.
People...
Thank you so much for that, Titanic.
Where
would we be without Armageddon and Pearl Harbor?
Hey.
I dug both those movies.
Careful of Armageddon.
Paul loves Armageddon.
I like Armageddon too.
Yeah,
I'm with
man.
You, Paul.
All right. So, yes, obviously, I might be the only one on here, Paul. But like, listeners out there, surely some of you understand the Leo. Surely some of you are on this team, on this boat, if you will. So.
Do you want to give us a rendition of the song?
Every night in my ass.
Oh, boy.
That's the best part of your argument.
Okay.
I thought I had
here.
Static go through the headphones there.
please. All right, well, not quite top half list yet. Number sixes.
All right. Our number six is Jonathan Demme's The Silence of the Lambs.
Didn't get looking at anyone else.
It really didn't, and I kind of am thinking now, how the fuck didn't it?
Wow.
Because Titanic was more important.
You know what?
Well, thank you very much, listeners, for your vote, because this is a lock now. Silence of the Lambs is just a phenomenal film, like an absolute tension-filled thriller from start to finish. We talked about Jack Nicholson as an awesome actor in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. He's got nothing on Anthony Hopkins as Hannibal Lecter in this film. This guy steals the damn movie.
No, he does. He's not in it that much. 17 minutes? Every single scene... Yeah, 17 minutes. Right. Every single scene.
And that's enough to get him a best actor as well.
Yeah, that
none of this supporting
ridiculous
shit.
No, that's got something to do with the director, man, or the editor. To make it that good, you know, for just...
No, it's the performance.
And it's the performance, Wayne.
And that, but if it was all together... Anyway, please. But no, you guys can call. I forgot about this one.
How?
Because, no, he's always on the short list. But like when I was sitting there going, oh, I don't know how it slipped out. But I remember being a little...
Didn't you remember the movie that gave you the idea for the tuck?
Let me tell you something. I hate that tuck thing. All right? I know I don't
it's uncomfortable.
I've never done it.
I understand.
How do your nuts not get squashed?
Don't lie.
That's the point.
You know, that movie's actually called something else. It's called The Brain. And what you do is you put your balls through your legs, squeeze it, and then you turn it around so that the resultant straining ball sack against the testes...
A trip to the hospital.
...looks like a brain.
I honestly thought you said that the movie's called something else.
Yeah, so did I.
The Move.
Oh, The Move.
The Movie.
The Move is called something else. Sorry.
Wayne, how have you not done the tuck, yet you know how to do the brain, which sounds like something like only like Russian gymnasts can
do? The brain came from the movie Waiting, where they talked about this. But more than that, the tuck thing, surely you're in pain, right? I mean, what the hell?
All right, I think we're spending too much time on this move and not enough time on the move.
We're just getting started.
I'm just saying. All right.
That's a solid pick. I rewatched it for the start of the podcast, like almost 3.5 years ago. It didn't impact me the same way. I think I was in the wrong frame of mind rewatching it, and it lowered it in my estimation. But the first time I watched it, I thought it was really, really good.
Yeah, plus you love horror.
Yes.
And who knew that watching it back then with such a low rating would lead you to lose the vote today?
Our number six is when a film from around the turn of the millennium, so when you two were zygotes, it is... Not quite, but still. Ridley Scott at his finest. It is Russell Crowe when he was good. It is Joaquin Phoenix, which I'll keep saying it that way.
You fucking idiot.
As a villainous, awesome bad guy you love to hate, it is a sword and sandals epic. It's Gladiator.
Mm.
Oh, hang on a sec, guys. Wait for it.
No! So much better as a harmony when Paul's not bitching it out like a fucking little asshole. He's just farting it out. Please.
What?
No. I'm glad to hear it's on your list as well. I honestly thought the way that those lists were going, you weren't going to have room for it. But yeah, fantastic film. Obviously, I sung its praises. Wayne had it ridiculously low on his list, which is why it's wound up in the middle here.
It was
somewhere.
Still on the list, Badgersil.
Yeah, but at least it was on his list, which is a lot better than most of the films that it should have been on there. What did you guys think of it? Tell us a bit about it now. I love it so much.
I mean, what's not to love? Yeah. Russell Crowe is... He's so good in it. And it created this, like, we hadn't seen this sword and sandal style for so long. And for me, like, I was still a young fella back then. It blew me away. Like, I hadn't seen anything like it. And for it to go on and win Best Picture, it just gave me some respect for the Academy at that young age, which I feel, you know, was important for a young movie viewer, you know?
You know what was cool about this? Do you think is it the performance or the directing that really got you there? Because
all
Russell,
of it.
Russell Crowe had to say something.
Yeah, all of it.
All of it, right? It is all of it.
It was probably the editing.
Dude, if you had a band, it would be called Hootie and the Burnfish. You're good at that shit.
Oh, shit.
Oh, good one. All right. Can't go on.
Yes, it was everything. I think we agree. Even Wayne, in his ridiculous way, agrees. Jesus, you don't realize, you guys suggested earlier on that we win because we have the votes in, well, mate, it was on your show, in the Facebook listening community, but I have to contend with this guy dragging me down like a lodestone every episode.
I don't know what the fuck, the guy who hasn't won a whole competition this entire year.
Hopefully that's maybe by now I have.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Anyway, that's a great. I'm looking forward to hearing how high it is on your list, and I will endorse it however high it goes. That's our six. So we're back to you. Top half list, number five.
All right, number five. We're going to go with one of the biggest movies of all time. Mm. The end of one of the best trilogies of all time.
Shit.
It is Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
Excuse me while I make a noise with my cock thumping onto the desk. Because this is where I made the film also go at number five, and Wayne didn't have it on his list.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Wayne. I try to support you as much as I can. You make it hard.
This fucker was long, man. This song was long. Ended many times.
It was long.
Brilliantly long, but, some would say.
Yeah, deservedly so.
Well, what is it that you dug about it?
I'll let Dean talk here because, like, you are the Lord of the Rings guy out of us two.
Mm. Well, yeah, that's...
It honestly would have been higher had it not been for me.
Okay. Was this even on your list?
Yeah, I had it low.
So better than one.
Yeah, no, what do I love about it? I love that we've already had 6 hours of this thing to build up all of these characters, and there are so many fucking characters in this movie. But we know them all so well at this point. So when everything is happening to them, you really, really feel for them. You cannot go past the insanely large action pieces either. It just pumps me up. Like, it really, really does. And for a movie that is so long, I never get bored with it. I could watch it any time, gladly.
I'm right there with you, Dean. I think it's a fantastic film. I think Viggo Mortensen is...
Oh, he's the shit.
...is awesome in the film, and his sort of big hero moments are just amazing. And just the production design of this film, I don't know if it won Best Production Design or the like, but it damn well should have.
If it didn't, it won everything else.
It was one of the only films, if not the only film, to win every Oscar that it was nominated for, which was, I believe, 12 or 11.
What?
And it wasn't
very, very good chance it won it.
Okay, because it was just incredible the way that everything from the miniature work to the special effects to Weta's sort of patented, whatever they call it, can't remember the program, I'm sure you know it, Dean. Where they create armies just out of the computer.
Oh, yeah.
It's just amazing.
Yes. That computer program. That one. Not well.
But Peter Jackson's directorial styles are perfectly utilized here. They're sweeping shots and then everything. Everybody's going amazing. And I don't understand why Wayne doesn't rate it, just because it goes maybe arguably a little long at the end. A little long.
It goes 40 minutes too long.
Oh, that's bullshit. That is utter.
Come on.
Utter crap.
I know he was trying to trim shit from the book, but God, it just seemed like it was going to, and then it didn't. And it seemed
cocaine
like it was
a hell of a drug.
Yeah, suck my balls.
Wayne, you got to get on that extended version, mate.
Well, do you know what? I was just thinking, like, I've only seen this once. So maybe.
This is a man who liked Batman vs. Superman Ultimate Edition way more than Batman vs. Superman.
I said it was about...
Is there something wrong with that?
So 50% better.
You and Dean are so similar.
Well, except for apparently the appreciation for Lord of the Rings.
That's
is my
okay.
point.
We can't agree on everything.
This is true.
Fine. So all right, but good one. It's on the same position as us.
Yes, exactly the same. Five for us as well. And
excellent.
Straight back to you for four.
All right, our number four is the movie that got Marty Scorsese his win. Finally, The Departed.
Well, we have one response to that.
No.
Really?
Yeah, bro. It was so good, I shat my pants. It was fucking great. But please, tell us why you dug it.
I mean, it's this whole mystery of who's going to get found out first. Yeah. These guys, everyone is undercover. It's ridiculous how everyone is doing this and no one knows who's who.
Right.
It's such a mystery that the cast is outstanding.
Leo at his absolute best.
Agreed. Leo's great. Jack Nicholson's great. Marky Mark.
Marky Mark.
Dignam is...
Come on.
Dignam is amazing. I'm the guy that does his job. You must be the other
guy. That was such a good line. I remember that. That was a good line. You know what else was fucking great about
this? Alec Baldwin now.
Alec Baldwin, man.
Alec Baldwin.
He's doing that fucking, like, you know, what are you, hell freak? Oh, yeah. Fuck you.
Yeah.
So good. Man, just really good. And also, when people get capped in this film,
it's quite violent.
Brutal.
It's brutal, but it's fucking almost... incidental the way it's filmed. It's not really like let up. It's like, oh shit, that happened, you know? Really kicks in your head.
And it hits you with some shocking, shocking moments, like some deaths you just did not expect watching the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I saw this at the cinema when it first came out, and, you know, if you haven't seen it, those couple of deaths that you don't see coming, that scared the shit out of me.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I asked Paul this in the in our other thing. Have you seen Infernal Affairs?
I have not,
yeah.
Nor have I.
This is the movie. Right?
Oh, yeah.
But,
because I saw Infernal Affairs maybe a year or so ago, like after seeing The Departed several times and watching it. It's just like, it is beat for beat, but the thing is, that came out first. So I'm like, you're copying The Departed.
Yes. But it's, I don't know, it is a bit different. I don't know. There's still a Scorsese-ness about the...
Well, you take a critically lauded director, you know, a master of his craft, if you will, and say, here's a script, and now you put your own spin on it.
Yeah.
Surely it has to be a better film.
Absolutely. He's
absolutely.
And Jack Nicholson, I remember looking at him going, that's why he's a fucking actor. Yep. That's why he's the guy, you know, because it's just great. So yeah, good call.
Apparently he just made up half his shit.
Really?
Jack Nicholson did, really?
Yeah. He had like a lot of free reign to do, just talk out and act how he wanted.
Isn't he meant to be sort of based on Whitey Bulger?
I think so, yeah. Oh, that's not bad. Oh yeah, I get that. I see it.
So yeah, fantastic film. Agree with everything that you said. It's utterly awesome in terms of, this is one I rewatched and my appreciation went up by a long
way.
True.
This is actually rewatchable, which is weird.
Nice.
Yeah, very rewatchable. I can't believe you wouldn't love it at its most from the first watch,
though. Well, I did. It was still my favorite film of that year that it came out, but it went up. Like, I think I've now, it's a 4.5-star for me. It was a 4-star at a start.
That's big from you, Paul.
It is with my very slight, skewed distribution system. So.
Yeah, you're quite the tight ass with your 5-stars, aren't you?
Is he ever made?
Yeah.
Imagine this guy's your fucking tutor or fucking professor or some shit. That motherfucker never gives me anything more than a fucking
we've had this discussion on here before. Let's move right along.
Okay.
All right, great. So that's your four. Our four is Wayne had it on his list. I did not have it on mine, but I agreed it probably should have been. So take it away, Wayne.
It is Unforgiven. It's a cowboy movie.
Okay. Yes. Don't say anything more. You're number three.
Did you guys see the show?
We've both seen it. The thing is, I haven't seen it. Well, I saw it when I was like, 13.
Daniel's very down on it. I'm very high on it, but it's a film that I would need to rewatch as well. I think the script for this movie is fantastic.
Yeah. The whole idea that this, when you meet him, he's this farmer. He seems passive. He's got pigs and kids and this and that.
So he's about as far away from a merciless killer that you can imagine.
And then you find out that basically his wife died. She died. He existed for a while.
Well, and she was his reason to not.
She was the reason he was not. He became not violent. As soon as she died, he goes back to being exactly what he was, which was a merciless killer.
Well, by circumstance. He didn't want to. It wasn't like he was searching for it, but it came knocking at his door.
Yeah, but I think the idea behind this movie is you are what you are.
Yes.
Like, you know, like you're just going to be always that person, whether you act like it or not. So, yeah, I love the whole show. What can I say?
I think it's my complaint with the film is, and not, I don't think anyone shares this. I just think there's too much time spent on Richard Harris's English Bob character. But Gene Hackman's amazing. He won the Academy Award. Clint Eastwood's character is incredible. I don't think he won Best Actor, but he won Best Picture, and Best Director. But I don't even know if he was nominated. I think he was.
This is back when he was good.
Yeah. Well before the 15-17 to Paris days.
Oh, he's departed now. No question.
There are developments in this film. Even Morgan Freeman in a supporting role is fantastic. I think he might have been nominated too. It was one of those films. It was like the anti-Western, which it's still a Western and it still has the same similar themes, but it skewed it around to like, hey, this is not the way. Like, violence is not celebrated.
That's why I liked it.
It's meant to be avoided.
Yep, and it's treated badly.
Yeah,
this is probably like the number one on my list of films I need to rewatch for sure.
Yeah, definitely, man. Ah,
Would endorse that part. That's great. All right. Number three.
Fellas.
We spoke about it before. It's Gladiator.
Ooh, that's fucking high.
Well, equally, no, it's not. Equally, our number three is one we've spoken about, Braveheart.
Braveheart.
Okay.
All right. Very nice. Very nice.
That was.
These two. Okay. let's do it. Okay. Our number two is Francis Ford Coppola's The Godfather.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Shit. Our number two is Francis Ford Coppola's The Godfather.
I mean,
what do you say about The Godfather? It is a movie that is built up.
Much.
Are you kidding me?
What? No. Before Paul fucking throws me in the bus like a bitch.
Right? No. Is it accurate?
Well, I have newfound respect for Paul.
No, here's what it is, right? I hadn't seen The Godfather till like fucking how long? 2 years ago? 1 year ago?
Yeah, when we made you watch it for the show.
Yeah, for the show I had watched. I just never seen it, all right? So everyone's like, what the fuck? And so on. Now, I go see it.
Correctly.
I know. I understand. It's a blight on my movie watching history. But
one of many.
Well, And look, again, you know how you get to something that's classic and you get there a little late? You get a little late, you just burned slightly too late when you saw it the first time. If you'd seen it when you were a kid and it was closer to the time, all good. But yeah, me, I was 43 or 42. Yeah, whatever. Right?
I can't old enough to know
better. Old as shit, right? Right, so, and yeah, it was very, very good. And I actually preferred number two, though. Which okay. also could have been on this list.
Yeah, very okay. much could have been. And it could be still to come.
You're right.
So let's not dwell on that. So yeah, please, your take, gentlemen.
Yeah, so I think we talked about like a list of actors in a film, like what's the fucking word?
He's just so excited.
Yeah, ensemble. I can't even spit it out.
Not an ensemble?
No, that's it. That's the one. Jesus. An ensemble of actors. You know, Marlon Brando, Al Pacino, Robert Duvall, James Caan. Like
Diane Keaton,
of course. And these
sexist.
Are all up and coming.
Vote for us.
Not with me on this team.
All these people put in like career best performances. The script in this is so tight. The score is one of the most memorable scores you'll ever hear.
Without doubt.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, it's long, but it doesn't feel long.
It's not long enough. The ending as well. One of the best last, 30 seconds ever.
Funny you should mention that, Dean.
Paul said the very same thing.
Very same thing on our Absolutely. Patreon organizing of our lists. Well done. Yeah. Well done. Well played, sir.
Quit fucking pumping them up, jizz man. The fuck? Well done, sir. May I suckle your penis?
Any port in the storm?
Oh shit! All right.
There is a reason why this film is
in the Godfather
is in the top five in the IMDb top 250.
Oh, is it?
Fine. Yes,
absolutely.
Sure. No, actually, that makes total sense.
We've got nothing more to add. That's a brilliant encapsulation. I think we forgot to mention the actor. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. The guy who plays Fredo. John something.
John Cazale.
Yes, who's basically is the Deer Hunter, Godfather Part Two, Godfather,
The Conversation,
Dog Day Afternoon,
and Dog Day Afternoon. His five films are all Academy Award nominated.
But that's
And then
that's
he died.
Only five he did,
and then he died. Like prematurely.
What the fuck?
He is like
that guy's been in the zone, man. Yeah,
pound for pound, the best actor of any generation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, can't argue with it.
Very cool.
He's never made a bad film, and never will.
You imagine how much he'd be worth if he was still around.
Yeah, if Robert De Niro died well before Rocky and Bullwinkle, we could say that about him. all right, so here it is then. So give us your recap then, your 10 through 2, and then reveal your number 1, which I'm intrigued
as
by.
As am I.
All right, from 10. Number 10 is Rocky. 9 is Braveheart. 8 is No Country for Old Men. 7 is One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. 6 is The Silence of the Lambs. 5 is The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King. 4 is The Departed. 3 is Gladiator. 2 is The Godfather. And our number 1 is... The Godfather Part 2.
Yeah, that's right. We did it.
Shit.
I argued for both to be on the list. Wayne said, no.
Actually,
we had the exact same argument.
A discussion and, we went with it. Because number 2 is better. And we couldn't have
better.
A list.
I wanted 2 on
without,
list.
Without number 1. So, well, fuck it. They're both going on. Number there 2 is like, you talk about all the good things from number 1. But Al Pacino, he's taken that journey he took in number 1 and he's become the fucking master, the absolute boss, and he owns it. The way he speaks to people in this film, people who are lowly, people who are he's meant to love, people like his wife, scenes between Al Pacino and Diane Keaton in this film are honestly, not being hyperbolic, some of the best scenes I've ever seen. He is. What
and
a performance.
And you cannot go past the split story.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Half the movie.
Of Robert De Niro as young Vito. It is sensational. This movie is just one of the best films of all time. It is a phenomenal, phenomenal acted, directed, edited. Wayne, edited.
It has good editing. It must not be understated.
I know. I didn't know it's the first time I've ever
heard. I tell you, if you see the bloopers of Al Pacino, you'd think he was rubbish.
You know, your description is making me want to give it another try.
Oh, do it.
Do it, please.
Too fucking late.
Yeah, well, fuck. Actually, you know what? I gotta bring something up. Which of the movies, one or two, was the fight? Was the, where James Caan has this fight outside in the street?
One, because James Caan doesn't make
one.
It through.
Yeah, one.
Oh, okay. Good call. That was a bullshit fucking fight. It looked like he was like, it was one of the 70s fights. Where I'm going to punch you now. Okay.
Funny that it was in the 70s.
Yeah.
But it still wasn't good.
Set in the 50s or whatever it was.
I giggled when I saw it. So there you go. But all right. All right. Nice one, fellas. Our number one. Are you done with that?
Look, fantastic choice. I was high on my list, stupidly high on my list, and somehow that Wayne talked me out of it.
I wanted it in, Jizzborg.
You didn't want both in, and so we went with the original if we had to have one. But if you had to have both,
it would have been two, but anyway. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
If you had to have both, you'd have two as well.
Whose fault? Whose fault?
I want to say yours.
You're mocking me, aren't
you?
All right. Our 10 through one. Take them away, Wayne.
Okay. 10's Rocky, number 9's American Beauty, 8 Schindler's List, 7 Titanic, 6 Gladiator, 5 The Return of the King, 4 Unforgiven, 3 Braveheart, 2 The Godfather, and number 1 is The Departed, son.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry, The Departed.
The Departed.
Yeah.
You're a quad.
With all all apologies to our good friends, so is the podcast for even trying that accent. Yeah, look, we've already talked about it. We don't need to say any more. Yeah. This was the only film that got high on both of our lists, and therefore it had to be our number one. It's a fantastic film, and we've said everything we need to say, gentlemen. It's been fantastic. What a list!
Nice goddamn work.
Any honorable mentions that could have, almost should have? How many number 11s do you have?
Yeah.
Well, I had what did I have? I had Slumdog Millionaire up there.
We should put that on there.
I also toyed with Birdman for a little bit, but
you toyed.
Birdman was on my list, man. That shit's off the chain.
I mean, they're good films.
Yeah, they're not bad.
The ones that you mentioned as well, like I had Schindler's List, I had American Beauty.
Yeah, I had American Beauty as well.
And The Deer Hunter, of course. That just slipped our list as well.
Well, you say, of course, but I watched that movie and I think it's kind of Wayne's talking about, but whereas The Godfather, when you watch it even now, and The Godfather Part 2, obviously, is just this narrative drive and it's tense the whole way whilst you build the characters. The Deer Hunter is like, not much, not much, not much, not much, wham! Not much, not much, not much, wham!
You need some more whams in there.
Yeah, yeah. It does sound like...
Like, it missed the whole build up to the wham, which really bothered me when I watched. And it's 3 hours long. I'm like, no, I don't want longer film. I want less of the bit. Anyway,
you got to build up to the wham, Paul.
it's not one more film.
There you go. I'm just trying to get that out of you. It's all.
Here's a question for you guys. What do you think is the worst best picture winner that you've seen?
Crash.
Yeah, fuck that piece of shit.
I like Crash.
Yeah?
Yeah. There, I said it.
No.
I like Crash 2.
I'm putting that not in the bloopers. I'm putting that at the front of the episode.
Now, do you want to vote for us or do you want to vote for the guys who like Crash?
That's going to be our word on your Facebook poll. The guys who like Crash.
No, I take that back. It's not the worst best picture winner. The English Patient is. Fuck that movie.
I haven't seen it.
Oh
man.
My god, it's really? A piece of shit.
I hear there's some great nipples.
It's funny enough that you say that because you can take this out as well because when we recorded the thing today, we had to give each other movies and Dean's fucking giving me The English Patient.
Oh, Dean, you're a heartless prick.
I couldn't help myself.
It's funny.
He's like, oh, it's not 3 hours, is it? I said, no, but it'll feel like six.
Accurate. I'm sorry to say. Extremely accurate. Minor mentions, which we only haven't talked about. Spotlight, I thought was very, very good, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Look, it's a great movie. Absolutely.
And I had No Country for Old Men, which obviously we've spoken about. And Shape of Water. Was on my
list,
which was high on your list.
High on my list,
and I talked out of it because I thought recency bias. I didn't think it probably should have been there yet.
Yeah,
if it does, if you're right, and it stands the test of time 10 years from now. Okay, but I don't think
we
it will.
We won't give a fuck by then.
All right, well that's my anything honorable mentions for you.
I just had one.
Yep,
The Last Emperor. I know.
Did
I
that
know.
Win Best Picture?
Yeah, it did in 87. Okay. 87. In this movie, there's it's about a child Chinese...
Scorsese again, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, you're right. A child
Scorsese.
No, he's a kid in
I should watch that one.
Can you imagine those eyebrows?
Well, I got something to tell you. This kid in the Chinese province, who is actually a fucking emperor, but no one, the rest of China doesn't care about it. He gets, there's a scene where he has a wet nurse, and she comes out, and she just kind of pops her titty out. And then, like,
oh, is that why you like it?
And this boy caresses it and sucks on it. I'm like, oh, Jesus. I saw it when I was like fucking.
Oh, Jesus. Rewind.
No, I was like, oh. Maybe that's where it started. Anyway, so, all right. Anyway, that's all I got to say.
All right. Well, that's our honorable mentions. Who got it right? You get a chance to vote in our Facebook listening community. Join up if you're not a member already. I'm pretty sure we'll get a whole bunch of Daniel and Dean's family members joining this week. But otherwise, then we now move on to the last part of the show, which is your feedback on this particular topic in a segment that we call the Pop 10.
Talk about Pop 10. Talk about Pop 10.
Gotta kick it off with a favorite of the show, Gidget Von LaRue from the Retro Cinema Podcast. Gidget. And here are three films that she had, two of which none of us mentioned. Number three, American Beauty. Mm-hmm. Some crept on our list. Mm-hmm. Two, Terms of Endearment.
Yeah.
Never seen it.
I never saw it.
It's my mom's favorite film.
Okay. Yep.
Never a good sign.
Dan? It's actually true in my mom's
it's
case.
Very true. Very true.
Dan?
Not my cup of tea.
Not your cup of tea. And number one, Amadeus, which got a lot of love amongst
I
listeners.
I do like Amadeus.
I did too. Yeah.
Great. I do not like it.
Someone told me that I have Amadeus's love.
Yes, that came back on some feedback.
Yeah.
From JD.
That's not a compliment, Wayne.
It's not a compliment. Oh, trust me, I know what was going on when someone said that. They said it with a scrunched face and a finger in the air.
From JD Duran from the In Session Film Podcast, let me champion Moonlight. I don't think it's just recency bias. I think even objectively, it's among the very best to win it. Also, some love for The Best Years of Our Lives and All About Eve. So there's three films that
All About Eve
no
is
one mentioned.
Top on a lot of people's lists. It's all old-ass movie that I never saw.
I've seen them all. I really like Moonlight, and I wasn't a big fan of All About Eve or The Best Years of Our Lives.
Okay. From James Spence, who's a good friend and patron to the show. Number three, Shakespeare in Love. And he had a gif here of, I think it's Pikachu, saying, haters gonna hate Dancing Along.
Do you know what? Have you guys seen Shakespeare in Love?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know why it's reviled like this?
Because it didn't, Saving Private Ryan denied it.
That, but also Harvey Weinstein.
He pushed it.
He pushed. Yeah,
he pushed something.
He definitely forced the situation.
Oh, hey!
Fucking hell! That scared the shit out of me because I was laughing and closing my eyes, and then the what the fuck was that? The fucking
it
ball.
Wasn't worth it. Just
fuck you, Paul! What the fuck happened? What a fucking. Oh, anyway, he's an asshole.
Sorry, you were saying Harvey Weinstein.
Nah, this is just—it's well known that he was an Oscar campaigner, and this was his masterpiece because he beat out fucking Saving Private Ryan.
It's ridiculous,
like Gwyneth-ing everyone.
Because here we are, 24 years later. What 20 years later? 21 years later? Whatever it is. And who talks about Shakespeare in Love except in this way?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Number two, Chicago. Another first time mention.
You don't like musicals and stuff.
I don't.
I've not seen it.
Oh, even these guys haven't seen it. All right, cool.
And no, I saw it. It was fine.
It was fine. Fine. All right. And number one, American Beauty.
Yep. In.
Dumb Godzilla Podcast, which always makes me laugh to say their name.
It is funny.
Number one, One Flew. Well, he just has three of us here. One Flew the Cuckoo's Nest, Rocky, and Unforgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And some prick is going to pick Gump.
Whoa. Oh, shit.
No pricks picked it here.
Do you know what? I had that on my list to definitely go in, and it became like a sort
Thank
of
God
a forefront.
You forgot
it. It's because I knew you'd never let it in. By the way,
I would rather have given up this podcast
Gump
than let
is
that
the
in.
Shit. All right, that's a nice. Good ass bump.
It is one a terrible, right terrible film.
Yes, Dean.
Really?
Yes.
Terrible. Like, oh shit.
Dan, where do you weigh in?
Daniel loves it.
Listen up here, right? I am in that camp of I saw it when I was younger and I really liked it, and now I am kind of scared to go back and watch it because I know I'm gonna like.
Well, because
this is actually really shit.
Handle the truth.
Oh, fuck off. Nah, this I understand, Dan. I'm much the same way myself, but I prefer to hold on to my fond memories. You see. So, yeah.
From Lance Anderson, Godfather, Godfather 2.
Yes!
And One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Clearly a vote there for
you.
Oh,
shit.
You
guys
gentlemen.
Got that guy. He's done.
Dare Daniel Movie Podcast actually cheated and had five. So, I'll read from the top down. No Country for Old Men, Godfather 2, and Amadeus.
Ah.
As well as All the King's Men and My Fair Lady. So, not really influencing much there. From Mario and the Bar, Braveheart, Slumdog Millionaire, and Forrest Dump.
Fuck you.
Dan from Ethics and Swill, good friend. Number three, The Hurt Locker. First mention of that one. That's a good film. Okay. Probably should have been a honorable mention.
I loved Hurt Locker, man.
Yeah.
That was good film.
definitely. There's so many. There's so many.
Number two, No Country for Old Men. And number one, American Beauty.
Hmm.
Very good.
Okay. Nice.
Film Inquiry Podcast Network. Number three, The Godfather Part Two. Number two, Amadeus. Seems like that's the one that we are.
We've all fucked up here.
We missed. Yeah.
Number one, No Country for Old Men.
Nice.
Good friend to you guys and to us, Sam Hurley from the Movie Reviews and Movie Reviews in 20 Qs podcast. Three, One Flew Out the Cuckoo's Nest. Two, Godfather Part Two. And number one, Casablanca.
I knew someone would bust that out.
I had to. I wanted to mention it for that reason. Yeah, and cool. No doubt, Sam is going to be voting for you guys this week. That's more than fair. Our good friend, Nick from the Epic Film Guys. Three, Schindler's List. Two, The Godfather. Number one, American Beauty. We might get one vote this week, Wayne.
Yeah, maybe.
Julio from The Contrarians, new patron to the show, so you shout him out. Number three, Schindler's List, since, you know, Saving Private Ryan is ineligible. Two, Forrest Dump. Can you imagine a sequel where Forrest is trying to make sense of Trump's America? And again, first time mentioned, number one, Annie Hall, only the smartest, funniest romantic comedy of all time.
You know why that one's important? It's because it was the first movie where they broke the fourth wall. Well, not the first movie, but they made that popular. They break the fourth wall.
Okay.
So, yeah. What do
you guys seen Annie Hall?
I saw it a very long time ago. I can't really remember it.
Forgettable.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Tick of Approval Review said the more important question than what is the best three Oscar-winning films is, will Wayne continue his besmirching of Saving Private Ryan by picking Shakespeare in Love to rub salt in the wounds?
Almost did, man. I almost did. But it wasn't about you. It was about Paul.
Also, number three, The Silence of the Lambs. Two, Schindler's List. And number one, Rocky.
Mm. Yes. Good Taking pick.
It. Taking it.
Dean, this is very, this very
is
silent.
This is a tough knee.
I don't get it.
From Billy Dunham, our good friend and yours as well from the We Watched a Thing podcast. Number three, The Departed. Two, The Godfather. And number one, Braveheart. Though he did throw some shade saying, could be hard getting 10 good ones here.
Ooh.
How dare you, Billy? Come on. Yes. That's a bit hard.
That's rough.
There's some really good Best Picture winners out there.
Yeah.
As you've just heard.
Our 10, yeah.
From Mark Harris, Gladiator, The Departed, and Braveheart. There's one vote for us. Yeah.
Paul picked that one carefully.
Seems like we've got a chance. Last couple to round it out then. From Thomas Hall, patron to the show. Number three, Birdman. There you are, Wayne.
Yeah, well.
Two, No Country for Old Men. Well done, gentlemen. And number one, Rocky.
Nice. See, number I told one. You Rocky was going to be a good pick. Big. You didn't even want it on the list, man.
Just to round that home, from Chris Yeaney. Gosh, this is difficult. Three, Patton. First mention.
Wow.
Two, Godfather 1 and 2. Cheating, Chris. Nice. Cheating. And number one, Rocky.
Yes. See, wow. This is just validating me on this side here.
I need validation.
Last couple, Dan Valdiboncour just had freedom.
Yes.
There's a gif there. And Kia Belcher had number three, Spotlight, two, Gladiator, and number one, Lord of the Rings, Return
okay.
of the King.
That's nice. A popular one, man.
Thanks to everybody who gets back to the show. We're sorry we can't have time to get through all of the feedback. It was phenomenal again today. Thank you so, so much. Now, one more thing. We are, of course, in the middle of a beef.
A beef, you say?
Yes. Myself and Dan are going at it to see who can watch more films in 2019.
Oh, that's right.
You got some balls, Paul, taking this challenge on.
Well, I extended the challenge. Well, and you accepted it, so maybe I didn't know what I was getting myself in for. I have heard your show where Dean has just laughed and said Paul just has no idea.
Really? There's a guy like this worse than Paul?
Yeah, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is good.
He will not lose. Like, I do not care what you do, Paul. He will not lose this.
Yeah, I'm okay. As long as I hit the marker I set for myself, if I lose after that, it's an honorable loss as far as I
was like, loser talk, asshole.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. You're already putting up your excuses for why you're going to lose. All right? This is why he wins.
That's right.
Well, maybe he's intimidating me out of it.
Be strong,
Paul. Be strong. I love the way that our co-hosts are going for the opposite member. Of
That's the thing, because he doesn't want to see me win. That's
no.
Well, I'm pretty sure from recollection you won a Pod v Pod, Dean. So, you know, it's not like it's all one-way traffic.
Hey.
He holds on to that very dearly.
Yes. Look, it's been a lot of fun so far. And I tell you what, the hardest struggle for me, and I don't know how you're finding it at all. Obviously, you can always go back and rewatch films. That's fine. But I like to watch new films that I've yet to see, and I'm kind of running short of them because I'm watching anything I'm even remotely interested in.
Yeah, I'm very much into watching as many new films as possible. But now, you know, obviously we've got the rules that we can, that rewatches count.
Yes.
So it's a bit more fluent there, and I can just, you know, bang on any random movie. If my wife's like, hey, you want to watch this? I'll be like, sure, do it. Let's watch it. Whatever it is, let's just watch it.
I'm at that point too. The other night we were scrolling through and my partner says, oh, I suppose you want to watch a movie then for your stupid challenge. I'm like, sure, but you know, why don't you pick it? And so we are currently halfway through Set It Off, a Netflix film. Which I have to say is not terrible.
What is it?
It's like Lucy Liu and Taye Diggs are asshole bosses in there.
I've fucking seen it!
Yes.
Of course.
Yes. I saw that last year. It wasn't bad.
Yeah, it was okay. It was okay.
It could have been far worse. Yeah, choice.
The girl's nice. The girl's very nice in it.
It's been great. I'm looking forward to it. We're very early in the year, obviously. There'll be a lot more updates as we go along. But this is the man who I'm up against. And then a whole bunch of listeners have joined in as well. Nice. I think we're all being smashed by a guy out of French Canada.
Really?
Etienne.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
he's watched like 70,000 films.
Okay. I'd like
but
to see
a lot of them.
Clearly single and childless.
Yeah. A lot of them, however, are short 2 and 3 minute films, and I have informed him that don't count. So
they don't count.
He sounds like my hero.
Look out for when Paul puts in a truce halfway through the year and he wants to do a payout or something.
We do have some stakes. What have we said? You guys, you can choose a countdown that we're going to do, and I think I was going to choose a couple of films for you to do out of the thing.
Oh, a couple, is it now?
yeah,
70. Well, technically a countdown is 10 to 1, so 10 films. That's
is that you just putting the odds on? You're like, oh, I'm a 10 to 1 10 favorite to 1. Against the 2 to 1 favorite, so I get more to pick when I win.
Wait a minute. If Paul fucks this up, then I've got to do some countdown that anyone says.
Yeah.
They'll be counting down the top 10 foreskins. Yeah, or
we're the real victims here, Wayne.
Yeah.
Thank you to our guests, Daniel and Dean. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Can you tell our listeners where to find you so they can check out your awesome show?
Yep, you can find us on any of the podcast catches you got there. iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, all the good stuff there. And if you want to get in contact with us, we're over on Twitter at IMDBJourney. That's basically where we sit about. And if you want to check us out on Facebook, it's facebook.com/IMDBJourney.
Please, please, please head on over and check out the show. It's fantastic. I listen every week. Except when you review a film, which I really, really hate, because then you always talk about it positively. I look forward to the day where you shit on a film.
Wait a minute. You saying these guys are overly, like, weenish in their positivity?
Yes.
Well done, Paul. You did not succumb.
You get the rarity where we don't like a film. Like obviously, you've heard our views are different on Rocky. So when we did Rocky, yes. It was just an absolute bashing between
hilarious.
Each other.
Legitimately hilarious. Like our show, but slightly more well-educated.
Dialing it up.
Rounded in terms of arguments.
Basically what we need,
there was way less references to anuses and penises.
I'll listen anyway.
And Wayne, how do listeners give us some feedback if they have yet to do so?
Okay, Google the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews. You'll find us everywhere. But if you want to send an email, it's thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter at TheCountdownPC. You can also follow us on Podbean, where we host our show, and the link to the Facebook listener community where you can vote on today's show is in the show notes. All right, next week then, Wayne, what are we doing on the show?
Coolest damn show ever. It is the top 10.
Oh, yeah, apart from this one.
Well, apart from this one, of course. We're doing the top 10 coolest movie weapons. Oh, yeah. That's what it's like when you're a boy. You look at people's weapons, not dicks, actual weapons like shit on screen, and it's sweet. So
even if said weapons may be metaphorically symbolic about other things. Look, yes, that's what we're doing. Of all time, any film, any movie weapon, or any weapon which is featured in a film is up for grabs. Wayne and I are going to rank all
of those. But the coolest. Not the most
not the most effective. No,
yeah. Cool.
That's right. Otherwise, you just go straight for the bomb that's going to destroy the universe.
Exactly.
Or the Death Star.
Exactly.
Or whatever else.
Fucking Infinity Gauntlet. Whatever.
Yeah, well, good point.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. That's next week's show. Very much looking forward to that one.
Okay.
All right. That is it for today. Thank you so much for joining us yet again for another countdown as we move rapidly towards our 4-year anniversary.
Really?
Hard to believe that's coming up.
Fuck.
Yeah.
All right. Wow.
Guys, what do you got coming up on your show?
Well, we just released our top 20 films of 2018 recently.
Boom.
And next episode is going to be our episode 50. So we've got a big special spectacular coming up. So I'll just keep my lips tight for that one.
Nice. Looking forward to it. Very, very much so. That is it for today's episode 203. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
My name is Dean.
And my name is Daniel.
And there can be only one soundboard finisher today's episode, because it does also riff on a great sound drop from the IMDb Journey podcast. We are clearly...
We are clearly you're the best.
Shut up.
Good pick up, mate.
Oh man, that was seamless. Are you a DJ? All right.
At least you know, Paul.
Oh god, it's been a blast. We'll catch you next time.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
That's all the preamble we have today. Let's get straight into it then. The top 10 best picture films on the other side of this really powerful music cue.
Is it going to be an Artica?
No.
No, you should put some Artica. Come on, fucker. Come on, man. Fuck it.
I can sing it if you like.
Word!
Well, 2 seconds together. Go.
Okay, which one? Which one? Can we do like Martika's Kitchen or are we going to do Toy Soldiers?
I'm serious. Go.
Okay, I'll lead up. Ready? Step by step.
Step by step and heart to heart.
Left, right, left.
We all fall down like toy soldiers. Boom.
Fucking fantastic. That's the fucking lead-in, man.
No, that's not the lead-in. That's it. The blooper. Oh, well done, gentlemen.